Right, we're off. Hello, this is Pat Rodwell for the Unagunaguna project, and it's the 12th of February 2025, and we're in Birmingham at the Irish Welfare Association, and today I'm with...
My name is Ravinda Gill, and my year of birth is 1984, and I've come from West Bromwich to do this interview.
Lovely. Let's just start then by you telling me a bit about your family and where you're from.
Okay, well, my parents are from India, the state of Punjab, and they had moved to Cork in Ireland, and that's where me and my brother were born. And then we lived there, they helped out in my dad's uncle's restaurant. It was an Indian restaurant. They had a very nice time living in Cork. They said they were welcomed by everyone, and they really enjoyed their time there. And they tried some other business ventures while they were in Cork, tried to open their own shop and then a few other things. But then they decided to, because of work, to move to England, and they had some friends here in West Bromwich. So that's where I've been since the age of five, and I did travel around a lot after that, but we moved together as a family to West Bromwich.
And you were there for the first 5 years of your life?
Yes.
Do you have any memories of that time?
I do have memories of being in a school, and I remember my parents going in and talking to some nuns, so it must have been parents' evening or something, and them saying that I daydream a lot. So they were talking to my parents, and I just remember going up and down some stairs in the school and passing nuns. I remember having the uniform there, and I just remember the place we lived. We had this really old, big, brown box TV. Yeah. And then a little bit of the restaurant that my parents worked in that, you know, I remember one time it was really cold and I walked out the restaurant and my mom told me to come back in. So little things like that I do, yes, remember about it.
And how about your parents? What are their, what's their view of their time in Cork?
Really good views, and a lot of the things to do with being Irish have picked up from my dad a lot. He still has his Irish passport. My mum changed to British, but he wanted to keep it Irish, and we've always kept ours, mine and my brother, as Irish, and he's always said to keep it as an Irish passport. Mm. And he's told me a lot about the time in Cork, that my mom told me that one time me and my brother escaped from the restaurant to go to the shoe shop down the road, and the police officer said, oh, your kids are going, and then he brought us back and things like that. Like, the whole community knew each other. And my dad recently was telling me about Women's Christmas, which happens in Cork, and I mentioned it to a few people I know who are Irish, and they knew nothing of it. So I saw that it was a big thing in Cork, and he remembered about this. So things like that I've learnt from him. And I was part of the 50th anniversary bombings event through Birmingham Irish Association, and I spoke to them about it, and they said they remember when these men were innocently accused and things like that. And yeah, they remember their time in Cork as a good time as well.
So you consider yourself Irish?
I do, yes. Yes. I think when I was younger, I didn't value it as much as I do now, because having moved to the UK, and when I started school, I would always have to say, but I'm Irish and everybody else is British, and you are kind of like the outsider. But people were also shocked because of my Indian background, and so they would say things like, which I still find they say now when I tell people, is, but are you so are you Indian? Are both your parents? Like, how does it work? And then I'd have to explain that, well, I'm actually born in Ireland. That's why I say I'm Irish. But I do think it's not just about I was born in Ireland, but it is a part of me in a lot of ways. And that's, like I said, has been brought down through my dad and things like that. So even though I do get people saying, but you don't have the Irish heritage, so you're not really Irish, I do think of myself as Irish. And I do remember growing up telling people I'm Irish, and so that has always been a part of me because I have been different to everybody else.
And is that why you decided to volunteer here at the Welfare Association?
Yes, it's because well, I spent a few years in Hong Kong and I was working there as a teacher, and I got to know a few Irish people there, and they all have like a little Irish community, and they would do an Irish breakfast at the Irish Centre in Hong Kong, and that made me connect more to my Irish roots. And I connected with a friend who was from Ireland in Hong Kong, and we got on really well talking about Irish things. So we were able to be in this different country, but also there's a lot of expats from Britain there, but we didn't connect with them. We connected more with, like, we're both Irish, right? So he would tell me about the Irish sports he's doing in Hong Kong. So that was our little connection. And then when I moved back, I went again to the St. Patrick's Parade, and when I saw all these banners coming up, I thought I've got to try and get involved in one of these. But at that time I was also volunteering, and I still am, with visually impaired and blind tennis, and through that I got really connected with the Irish tennis team, and I went to Dublin to the nationals and things like that. So that connected me more with being Irish, and they were so pleased that, oh, she's from Cork, she's wonderful, yeah, she can be part of the team, and they welcomed me so much. And then, yep, so I found out if I could volunteer here, and then I started volunteering here, helping people with passports. But I'm also part of their Ramblers team, so we go rambling every Friday when we can. And so through that, I connected more with people from different parts of Ireland and got to know more about the history and things like that.
Brilliant, that's good. And you've got a brother, is he older or younger than you?
He's 2 years older than me, yeah.
And does he have the same view?
No, that's quite strange, he doesn't. Whereas I feel like very, in my heart, I'm Irish, and when people talk about things like the Troubles or Republic of Ireland, being from Republic of Ireland, and what happens in North Ireland and what's happened with the history of British government, I feel like I can connect with that, and I speak about that, and I make people aware of that. My British friends, I speak to them about that a lot, and they sometimes say, no, Irish people love England. And then I'll have to tell them the views that people have, and I'll say, this is why. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes don't know about those things, and I've spoke to them about it. But whereas my brother sees himself, even though he's born in Ireland, he thinks he's British Indian. Yeah.
No, that's interesting. I've known other families and siblings, yeah, like that. Yeah. So I was interested.
Yeah, whereas when me and my dad talk, we talk very much like we are Irish.
And let's go to when you were five.
Yeah.
And you and your family moved to England. And you settled in West Bromwich at that,
yes,
time, which is in the West Midlands, just west of Birmingham, isn't,
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
And what are your memories from arriving at that time and being in a different country?
Yeah, I remember that we were first living with my dad's friend because my parents had to find accommodation and work. And then I remember going with them, looking at houses, and then we were renting a house through another friend they knew. And then that area, my mom ended up getting a job in a sewing factory because she did a design course in India, but because of her not having the English language, couldn't use it fully. So they've pretty much done labour jobs like that. And then I remember then we moved to the street next door because they had bought a house next door. And the reason was my mom loved the kitchen, was so massive. So she wanted to get that house. And we moved in there. And then I just remember starting school. But because I started at that age and not from nursery or reception, I just remember being again kind of the odd one out. And I remember I was still quite upset the first day I went to that school, and I wanted to go and run to my mom, but my mom asked a girl next to me to take care of me, so we became good friends. But I do remember people always saying, "You're Irish, you're Irish." Yeah.
Was it, what type of school was it? Was it a Catholic school?
No, it was just a it was a Christian school, but mm-hmm. not a Catholic school. And they weren't as religious. We did the hymns and things like that. But no nuns and things like that walking around, yeah.
But even at that age, what, 5, 6?
Yes.
You definitely identified as us coming from Ireland.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But I remember being around more of an Asian community when we moved here. Mm. So that was, I could see the difference there. And so being from Indian parents, my family did want me to be involved in a lot of, like, the Asian community, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then from primary school, you went on to secondary.
Yes.
And was that again in Westboro?
That was, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I think that was completely different because it was just like being in high school anywhere, I guess. And you'd have your little groups of friends. So I'd have, in our high school, it was very much people were in their little community groups. So it was a lot of, in my circle were a lot of Indian girls that we'd hung around with each other. And it was very much girls, because coming from a mom that's from a very strict background, Indian, she would want to see you with other girls and not so much with boys. So it was always around the girls in high school, even though I had crushes on boys. And they were all on, like, different races, because mm-hmm. I was just attracted to who I was attracted to. And just very much you'd have people not getting on, you'd have some bullies, you'd have teachers you got on with, teachers you didn't get on with. And West Brom is multicultural, so I guess you would see there was a bit of race divide sometimes, a bit of cultural differences, mm-hmm. things like that would be brought into high school.
Mm-hmm. And at that stage, did you have any friends who also felt said were Irish?
No, again, it was, I was the only Irish one. Mm-hmm. And I do remember when I'd say, if, like, I wouldn't just go in and say I'm Irish, but if it ever came up something about Ireland, I'd say, yeah, I know that because I'm Irish. Mm-hmm. People say, stop lying, you're not Irish. And I'd always get accused, you're not really, why are you making it up? But they didn't believe that I was Irish. Yeah.
No, it was where you were born.
Yeah.
Spent the first 5 years. Can I just ask about the religion side?
Yes.
How were you brought up in terms of religion?
My parents brought me up as Sikh, because they are Sikh. Mm-hmm. But again, I remember rebelling against that because I was questioning things about the religion and being in a multicultural environment, and then growing up in England, I didn't really connect with it. But again, my brother did, but I didn't. Yeah.
So you took slightly different paths.
Yes.
You and your brother, just
yeah.
in terms of
yeah
of choices.
Yeah.
Let's move to the time when you were 15. Can you think of anything particular that things were like when you were 15? Any memory come to mind?
I just remember that I really wanted to leave home because I just wanted to be myself a bit more. And I thought my parents, like I said, being from an Indian background and things, thought you should be like this, you should be like that. Very much was from my mom how a woman should be, and you should learn cooking, then you should be a good housewife when you grow up, and you should be getting married, was from both my parents, and it should be to someone that's Indian. But I was like not connecting with those ideas as well. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would rebel a bit and talk back to my mom, and I would say that no, I don't want to grow up to just know cooking. I want to work, and I want to travel, and I want to do other things. Mm-hmm. So I remember things like that, and also being very excited at that age to leave high school. I just thought, I've had enough of high school now, I can't wait for the next step. So mm-hmm. I was really looking forward to going to college and getting out of there.
Okay. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I just feel like, I just felt that school was very, everyone had to conform to a certain way. Mm-hmm. And also I had friendships that worked out, friendships that didn't, people you got along with, people you didn't. And then I just thought, now I've come to that stage where I'm just ready for something else. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I just want to grow a bit more and not just be stuck here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. You, from what you said, your dad was quite supportive of the view that you were Irish and
yes,
born in Ireland.
Yeah.
What did your mum think of your feeling about that?
I remember that I was wearing a cross when I came over here, and mm-hmm. I was in primary school, and then a girl said to me, who was from a Muslim background, that, how come you're wearing a cross? But I was like, I didn't think anything of it at that time, and I just thought, yeah, it's because, you know, I wear this, it's part of me. And then after that, my mom got rid of it and said, we don't need to wear this anymore. So she didn't really explain. She just said, we don't need, you don't follow this. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Tell me a bit more about high school, why you were there. What was it like? What did you enjoy? What did you not like?
I think I was quite rebellious in high school as well. I didn't like following the rules because I just found them silly. Everyone having to wear these black uniform with a white shirt. Everyone had to conform. So I used to wear black jeans and white trainers. And one time the teacher picked up on that, but other times they didn't seem to really care, but everyone would notice that I'm wearing black jeans and white trainers. And also I think, like I said, I developed a few crushes on like the typical bad boys. Yeah. But I always felt that I knew who I was. So I remember one time one of the crushes, I heard him say to his friend, oh, watch this. And then he came over and he said, oh, can you borrow me £1? And I said, no. And then he expected me to give it because he knew I had a crush on him. But I thought, no, I'm not giving you £1. And mm-hmm. somehow I just knew my own mind.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
That's good. And how about your group of friends at high school?
I remember having a big group of friends, and then it dissolved because there were certain characteristics I didn't see fitted in with my values and the way I want to be. So I would see some of them mocking other girls and or saying things about other people, being two-faced, and I started then drifting away, which at that time in high school wasn't very good because they then started on you for getting out of that circle. So they didn't like all that, and people had their little connections, but I didn't want little groups. I wanted to be able to talk to everybody and to get on with everybody. And I remember being popular with boys even though I didn't have a relationship with any boy at that time, that I remember one boy saying to me, the other girls are saying I shouldn't talk to you because they don't want me to talk to you. They say, come and sit with me. And I didn't understand that, because to me, I didn't get why I was popular with boys. Yeah.
It sounds like you were quite self-assured.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. Mm. I think I did have... things that I was unsure about as well. Like, at times I'd sit in class and I'd speak quietly and other people would say, oh, how come you seem so shy? And people in my friend circle didn't think I was shy. But if I was put in the classroom with other people outside of my friend circle, I found at the beginning I was shy, but towards the end I was speaking up a lot and saying, this is wrong, I don't want to be involved in that. Right. Yeah.
That's interesting. And how did you get on with your exams and things when you were 16, year 11?
I remember I liked certain subjects. I liked religious studies a lot. I liked English literature and language a lot. I liked history a lot. And then other stuff, I didn't like so much. So when it came to my exams, I just kind of revised last minute, but I did do well. I did pass them, apart from maths I had to do again. and I remember people saying that she doesn't really come in and work as hard as us, but she gets the grades. But that's because I knew when to work hard, and that was when you have exams or when you're doing an assignment. And other times, like I said, I just thought the whole system was a load of nonsense.
What did your parents think of your education and exams?
They used to just say, when you go to school, make sure you're listening to the teachers. If I'd have homework, they'd say, make sure you're doing it. And they wanted me to do really well and thought a lot of education. Mm-hmm. But I remember one time I got caught going out of school at lunchtime, and we had a letter come home, and my mom thought, that's it, she's going to be really bad now. But my dad was more like, oh, we do these kind of things when we're young. So yeah.
So your mum was worried that
yeah.
How about at that age, 15, 16, what did you do outside school?
I remember we didn't really do much outside of school, because my parents both would be at work because they do the labour work, and then I'd be at home, me and my brother, and I would often think, why are we not going anywhere? And my mum would often say, we need to save money and we need to have money. And then she would sometimes say, when you get a job, then you can go and do what you want. But at that time, we weren't really doing a lot. I remember going to San Francisco because my mom's brother lives there and it was his wedding. So I remember at that age going, and I was like, oh, it's going to be boring, we're not going to go anywhere. And all my friends saying, wow, you get to go to San Francisco. And then, yep, I remember being in San Francisco and I really loved that. And then I was saying, I want to move to San Francisco, I want to live here. And my mum again was like, no, when you get your own job, then you can do what you want. Yeah.
Did you have any links to any sort of community associations or groups then, whether Indian or Irish?
We had, when we were growing up at that age, a welfare association group that was Indian group. So we'd be left there sometimes in the summer holidays, and we'd have summer groups there. Mm-hmm. Or we'd go on trips with them to different parts of the UK. Like, they'd have trips to Wales, mm-hmm, or somewhere else in the UK, and we'd go on coach trips, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, what did you do after your exams? Go to college, find work, what did you do?
So I went to college to study A-levels in media and things like that. And then I did get a part-time job in a factory. Yeah, that was just to make money. And so that's when I started making my first paycheck. And then my mom again was worried because she's worked in a factory, and she was like, I hope you're not going to stick with this job. And she wanted me to do more. And then, yeah, so it was 2 years in college and working. And then I always decided I'm going to go somewhere far to university. So I picked ones that were quite far, and then I ended up going to the University of Hull.
Right. Well, I know several people who went to Hull.
Do you?
That's really strange.
Yes.
And what was it like moving away from home for the first time?
Well, I was very excited until I got there, and then I realised, oh, I don't know anyone, and it's very, everyone had already made friends again. It was like, again, when I was moved here from Ireland, and somehow everyone had made friends and they were all getting on. And then I remember my dad dropped me off and he was crying because that was the first time I'd be away from them. And I called my mum up and I said that I don't have many friends, I'm not happy. And then she had said that her aunt had done the same in India, moved away and went to university to do nursing. And she had told her that it feels like that at the beginning and you'll get used to it. And I was thinking, oh, I'm never going to get used to this, I'm going to be so upset all the time, I'll be upset. And then eventually I did get used to it, and I made some friends. And then I really liked, I think, having my independence and being able to just develop my own character instead of my parents saying, you should be like this, or you should be like that, or we should follow this. And then I really was able to develop myself.
And did you make friends?
Yes, I did. I made a few small friends. Yes, yeah.
Who were they? What were they like?
So there was one friend from London, and he was studying economics, whereas I was studying sociology. So we had those differences there, but we got on really well because we both we did come from Indian backgrounds, but we were both being away from home for the first time, we had that connection. And then I had a Chinese friend who had moved away, and he was from London, so he found it all different in that way, that where's the underground, where's this? And he didn't realise outside of London you don't get all of this. So we were connecting on all these different things. And then yes, I had another friend who I think she was from up north, and then she was doing medical sciences. And then we started just going out a lot, and that's when I started drinking and doing things like that and going to all these nightclubs.
And what was that experience like?
It was really good. I felt like it was just student life. That's what you do, that's part of being a student. So everything, we were just taking in, being a student, enjoying our student life there. And we'd go to a lot of gigs, and if there were any ones that we knew about, we'd go and get tickets and make sure we were there. And then it was a lot of, you'd be up late at night and then all night, then you'd be sleeping all day and things like that. And you'd go to lectures that you were interested in, and maybe you'd skip some and things like that. But then at the same time, I was in, again, when I have had assignments or exams, I'd be there studying, making sure I would pass. But the other times I would see it as just trying to have fun.
Did you make any Irish friends while you were at home?
No, no. Again, I didn't think of doing that for some reason at that age. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And after university, well, no, let me go back a stage. During your 3 years at Hull, how often did you go home? What was it like when you went home?
I didn't go that often, maybe if there was a long break from university. And then it felt weird to go home because I'd be thinking I want to go back, but my mum wouldn't, like, she'd want me to stay there, but I would be thinking I can't wait to go back. And unless it was the summer holidays where I felt that I'd then go and meet my friends in London, or I'll go do this or go do that, and be a bit more adventurous with exploring other places.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And what happened at the end of your degree? What did you want to do then?
I actually never knew what I wanted to do, whereas other people really knew what they wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to do sociology because it had a lot to do with social issues, and that's what I was interested in always, and what I enjoyed. And then when I left, I found out a lot of people were asking for experience, and we were never told that. We were just like, get the degree. And so a lot of people were asking for experience, but because I didn't know about all that, that you should get experience or you go and do this first or do that first, I kind of just got a job where I could in an office at that time, and it was an interpreting office that they'd send interpreters out, and they had another bit where they were renting out houses. So I was working in that office for a few years until I figured out what I wanted to do next.
And was that back here in West Brom?
It was mm-hmm. It was close to West Brom. It was in Handsworth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And living at home?
Then? Yeah. Then I came back to live at home, which was really strange.
What was it like?
It just felt like it was a bit like you'd gone a bit backwards or something. And then also that you're watched again of where are you going, what are you doing. Yeah, but I liked that I was able to get a job, and I still was figuring out what I wanted to do, so I wasn't sure.
I think that's really common at that age. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you went to Hong Kong. When was that, and how did it come about?
So what happened was, when I was at that job, I did then think I need to leave this job, and I wanted to, because I'd gone on a holiday to Spain, and I got on with kids a lot, that we were on this coach trip, and I was messing around with a lot of kids on the coach trip, and I thought, oh, I'd like to do something with kids, which was funny because in school I couldn't wait to leave school, and then I was going back to that. And so then I started volunteering, and I went part-time in my job and volunteering in hospital and with kids. And then I got a job as a play worker, and I got a job as a teaching assistant. And so that led, I started in my 6 weeks going to Brazil, and I had made friends in Brazil and teaching abroad in Brazil. Then a few people said to me, why don't you just become a teacher? So I did the course and I became a teacher. But as soon as I started, I knew I wanted to work abroad somewhere, but I just wasn't sure again where that was. And so I just went on a trip with my friend to certain parts of Asia, and Hong Kong was like just an add-on to that holiday. But I really liked it, and I thought, why not try for a job there? And I ended up getting the job. So I moved that same year out to Hong Kong.
And how old were you at that stage?
I think like 32. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I lived in Hong Kong for about 5 years.
Right. And what were you teaching?
So at the beginning I was in a private English school teaching just primary education.
Yeah.
Then I moved out of that to be more with the culture and the kids from that culture. So I started working in a local school teaching English. Right. Yeah.
And was it at this time that you made a friend who also had Irish heritage?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So we were both in this group that had just started at this first school that I started at, and they said we were the newcomers, and we just got talking, and he said he's from Ireland, and I said, oh yeah, I was born in Cork, and he was taken back as well, and he really liked that. There was someone else in this group that was Irish. Mm. And so we got on well, and then he started telling me about the Irish activities that happened. Mm-hmm. So I started joining some of these groups, and I joined a few times with their Irish pub quizzes, and then another event was they had an opening of some Irish pub there, and I went with my friend, and his girlfriend took me, and she saw herself as Irish as well. And then they had this in the Irish Centre there that used to do breakfasts on one of the days in the week, so I went to one of those, and I went to some of their meetings, and that's when I got back in touch and more in touch with what being Irish is, and knowing about all these activities that I didn't know about when I was growing up.
Why do you think it appealed to you?
For some reason, I saw myself as Irish. Like I said, even though I was there with a lot of British expats, I saw myself as Irish still, and so I wanted to be more involved in what the Irish people there were doing as well, because even though I grew up in England and I did see myself as English and I could relate a lot to those activities, I still thought there was that difference, and there was an element that I couldn't relate to, but I could with the Irish community.
And what do you think the difference was?
I think a lot of activities and a lot of sports things and how we do connect, where we think like, yeah, I hope England loses that match and things like that. And even though I was growing up in England, I always thought, no, I don't want England. For some reason, I always thought I don't want England to win, and I'd always want Ireland to win these matches. So
sounds like you felt very at home with this Irish community. Do you think the same would have happened if you'd stayed in England? Was it the fact you were in another country?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was in another country, being able to explore more about what's out there. And because I was meeting people from different countries and backgrounds, that I was able to find out about what other activities and other things that are going on and learn more, yeah.
Are you still in contact with any friends from that time?
Yes, yeah. So I'm still in contact with him. Mm-hmm. And when I moved back here, he was having his wedding in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I was invited, so I went over for the wedding there, and I got to see West Island a bit more, because his wedding went over to Knock, and it was at Ballytumber Abbey, and yeah, so I explored a bit more of Ireland, and that's when I thought, oh, I'd like to know more stuff that's going on in Ireland and connect, and that's when I started finding out about what things I could do here in England to connect more with being Irish.
Had that been when you went to the wedding in West Ireland, was that the first time you'd been back since you were small? Or had you been back at all?
I had been back.
Years?
Yes, I had taken my dad for his 60th to Dublin.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we had, because I knew, like, I would always have that connection with my parents, and they always spoke about Cork, and we've all got the photos of going to all the places in Cork. Mm. So I know that I wanted to take them back, but instead of Cork, I took them back to Dublin. So we went there, and then I went a few times to Dublin, but I never went back to Cork until last year.
And what was that like?
That was really great. It's and my parents, before I left, said, oh, make sure you see this and tell us if this is still there, and go try to go to this road. Mm-hmm. So I was going around Cork, and it was really nice. There were some things I told them about, and they said, yeah, I remember that. And, yeah, things like the shops and things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice, especially that you were able to tell them
what
it was like
it
was there. Yeah. Any plans to return?
To
Ireland.
Yeah, I'd like to now, because I've been part of the Irish Association and I do the tennis and everything, I'll go back with them. But because I've met so many people from different counties while being here, I'd like to explore a lot more of Ireland, and also I went to Northern Ireland by myself to Belfast as well. So just I do have a plan to try and explore more of Ireland.
And you're volunteering here and with the Tennis Association. What do you enjoy about those things?
I think again was that connection I made with the Irish team, and that was really good. And we talk about loads of things to do with Ireland and different things, and also the community, just being involved in a community I like, is even here. It's even though I didn't spend a lot of time in Ireland, like I've said, I've seen myself as Irish.
Yes.
So getting to know more about that is like I'm trying to, I know more about myself and things I like, and things, just exploring these different foods that I didn't know about, and different things that go on, and knowing more about the history, knowing more about sports as well, and more about the sporting teams. So all that, like getting involved with the tennis and then doing it in Dublin, and meeting people from different areas of Ireland that come to those teams.
Yeah.
So just all that I enjoy.
Those first 5 years of your life and being born in Cork have had a profound effect on
you, haven't they? It's like
And how about your dad? Do you talk to him much about your work here and your work with the Irish community?
Yeah, so I tell him about the rambling, I tell him what we did here, I told them about the 50th pub bombings and that event, and then he starts telling me about memories he's had, and he'd say, oh, I remember when I used to go to Dickworth when I first moved here, and there was a lot of Irish community, and I'd go into the pub and sit with the Irish people and this and that. And then he'd say that in Ireland, his name's actually Jaswinder, but they would shorten it to Jimmy, and that's more like Irish. So and the things he'd talk about, what he'd do when he first got here in the Irish community in Birmingham, and he loves going to the St. Patrick's parades as well.
That's good. And he again must surprise people by saying, oh, I lived and worked in Cork.
And even when I say my dad's certain views about Ireland, people are surprised. I'm surprised your dad thinks that, and that means Ireland must have had an effect on him. And I said yes.
Ah, that's lovely. That's really good. Is there anything else that you'd like to say about being your experience as a young Irish woman? Anything else you'd like to add?
Just about when people say, oh, but how are you Irish? Oh, is it apparent then? And so sometimes they may think, but you're just born in Ireland. And I know a lot of people have spoke about Irish heritage, but currently I was speaking with one of the tennis players from the blind tennis, and he said, I think you are as Irish as anyone, because look at everything you do for the Irish community. And he said a lot of people that say they're Irish don't do that, but you do all that. And he said, I wouldn't listen to anyone saying about Irish heritage and things like that, because you are, in my eyes, you are Irish.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point to stop. That was lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ravinda. That was excellent. It was lovely hearing about it.
Thank you.
And as I've said, what we'll do is send the recording off, get the transcription back to you, and then we can talk about it further.
Yeah.
But that was lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I shall now end the recording.
Okay.